Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today, Children's Sunday. We've talked a lot about children over the last 3 years. We've done a lot with children over the last 3 years. And some of you may wonder why. Not because you don't agree with it, but because it might not be from your past. You just aren't used to a church putting so much emphasis on children. And I couldn't find any relevant statistics outside of for this year. But statistics show that almost half, 43%, of all professions of faith are made before the age of 13. 63% are made before their 18th birthday. So do you see the importance of getting them early? And so also on top of that, so let's say you might be an adult and you'll say, well, that's completely ridiculous because I accepted Christ when I was 40. But I bet you had a grandmother who prayed a foundation on you. So when your life fell apart, you had something to land on. And so what we hope and pray is that not only will our children make decisions now, but if they don't publicly make those decisions, they will have a foundation that will allow them to make it later. Amen. Today we're going to be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. I have no idea what page number that's on because I didn't look it up. Hey, what? 800. The price is right. Come on down, right? So page 800, if you're in your own Bibles, Matthew chapter 19, I do invite you if you can and are able to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the Gospel this morning. So Jesus has been teaching about all these things in the crowd, and then we pick up in verse 13, and it says this, then little children were being brought to him in order that he may lay hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. And he laid his hands on them and went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, the meditations, the spirit, the awareness of all our hearts in this moment be pleasing and acceptable to you. May your words challenge, may they comfort, and may they convict. Amen. But I was teaching in my teaching career, and I had the classroom at the very end of the hallway. First door on the left of the 400 hall at Burns High School. It was the ugly hall, the one with the orange tile. It hadn't been updated. If you've ever been in the building, you know what I'm talking about. That's not a knock on the color orange. It just didn't match anything else in the building. Please, somebody help me, right? Amen? It's hideous. But it was my classroom, and it was testing season. And in U.S. history, they took a standardized test that really was important. And the state gave it, and we put a big emphasis on it. And so we were doing before school extra tutoring. And so it was my day. I was there. I had tutoring that afternoon before, and I told them, it didn't matter to me if you're my student or not. If you need help in the morning, you come see me. I loved kids. I really did. I loved spending time with them. So I started getting concerned because it was like 10 minutes after and only had a couple kids in. And I said, they told me they were coming. So I opened the door. I had to open the door and I propped it open. And I see a bunch of kids standing there arguing with a teacher. And I said, what's the problem? They want to come into your room. Then why are they in the hallway? You didn't give them a pass. I mean, man, I said, I don't care if they're my kids, your kids, or any kid taking science. If they want in my classroom, and she, they came in my classroom. I probably didn't speak with the same amount of grace that Jesus did that day, but the message was clear and the message was the same. Let the kids come to me. Let them come so that we can teach them. And Jesus says it very gracefully and very clearly to his disciples. Let them come. And so I started thinking, why were children so important to Jesus, but the disciples didn't want them anywhere near him? And I kind of shared that with the kids this morning. Children were kind of seen, they were their father's responsibility. And so if the father was not there and they were being brought, they were most likely Jesus has just finished teaching on divorce after this. And so some commentaries say that played into this. This might have been single or divorced individuals, most likely women who were not given a certificate of divorce. Does that make sense? Different time, different era, but I'm just giving you the context. And so they're trying to rush these kids to Jesus to get rid of that belief that the kids will be punished for my sins. That kind of thing. And so the disciples say that's an annoyance because you should be handling your kids' business on your own. And Jesus says, let them come. And it's not that the disciples were doing anything wrong. They were doing what was the tradition of that time. But I think it shows us the heart of Jesus that children are a really, really big deal. A really big deal. The master, the king of all things, made time for the little children. We've tried very hard to make children's ministry a really big deal around here. And because of the faithful work of a handful of people, we've been fairly successful. In June 2015, we entered our appointment time here at Emmanuel United Methodist Church. And the first Sunday, we had a handful of kids up here, maybe eight. But really, in reality, if we wanted to boil it down and be honest, when it came to children of this church who were active, do you understand what I'm saying with the word active, consistently active? Probably talking three or four. But then we started talking, I started listening, and everybody kept saying, the leadership kept saying, we need more kids, we need more kids, we need more kids. I said, have you prayed for them? No. We're just hoping you're young, you'll bring kids. Well, I brought one. Now I brought two, so I did my part. But we started praying for kids, didn't we? And we started doing things that didn't make any sense. We started Sunday school classes for kids, and guess how many people we had some weeks? One. And he didn't have an option. We had one some Sundays. Some Sundays we would have two. Then it grew into like three, then four, and then it eventually kept growing and growing. And to not so long ago, Michelle, what, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had 27 children either here or there under the age of 13. Amen. Yeah, somebody needs to say, I'm telling you, I'm going to preach today. So you're either going to like it and get involved in it, or we're just going to be here a long time. But God's done so many wonderful things for us, hasn't he? And I'm talking just children. I'm not even talking the other stuff. But God has done so many amazing things for us. I want to ask you a couple very simple questions. Who's thankful for what God has done with the children at Emmanuel United Methodist Church? Lucy's the first one whose hand's gone up because her life has been impacted. Right? The majority of us. The rest of us just don't want to participate. I know deep down inside you're thankful. I know that. I see you smiling when they sing, so I know that. But here's the bigger question, I think. Who wants to see God do more in the lives of our children than he's already done? Right? Then why do we only have four teachers rotating through Children's Church? You know what happens to those four teachers when they're not teaching Children's Church? They have to serve in the nursery. To where we have some ladies who only come into worship once every 2 months. But we all care about our kids. I'm not a teacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. I've done my time. If Jesus could die on a cross, he was God himself, and he died on a cross to save somebody wretched like me, and then good people like y'all, you can help share the love of Christ with children. All right, now let's ask an easier question. Let's go back to being graceful. If you're a parent or a grandparent and you have seen your child's faith grow in the last 3 years, raise your hand. Good. then why do we only have 6 out of 27 in Sunday school? Because see, here's what happened. The disciples scolded people from letting the kids try to get to Jesus. And Jesus says, no, let them come to me. And here we are in 2018, and we still block them from coming to Jesus. They can't drive themselves. They can't teach themselves. Right? We teach them. Here's how we teach them. We teach them by saying, don't worry about it this week. We overslept. You make it to work way before 10 or 11 o'clock every day of the week. I know this is getting uncomfortable. That's fine. We block them with the examples we set because we're not growing in our faith ourselves. We brought them because we really only want this. This is what we really want. We want them to accept Jesus. We don't care if they take it any further and live like Jesus. We say we do, but we just want to make that profession, raise their hand, come down at VBS, celebrate. For those of you that you grew up a long time ago, the sawdust on your feet from the camp meetings, you know what I'm talking about. You walk down front at the revival. We want them to have sawdust on their feet, but we don't necessarily want them to have the perfect love of Christ in their heart, because that continues for years and years and years. Do you want to see your child's faith take the next step? Do we want to see God take the next step to take this church to the next level when it comes to ministering to young people? I want you to hear these words. This is the Shema. This is from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, God's people. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. You've heard that before, right? Do you know the verses that follow? Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are away. When you lie down, when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates. Love the Lord your God with all you've got. But you better teach it to your children. Not just at church. Everywhere you go, I'm going to let it shine. That means when you mess up, you got to swallow your pride and go to your children or your grandchildren or your niece or your nephew and say, what I did wasn't like Jesus, and for that I'm sorry. And so you're saying, no, you can't do that because that shows weakness. It's in my weakness my son sees Christ. And I care far more about him seeing Christ than I ever do him thinking I'm strong. You see, it begins with verses 4 through 6. It's all about the way you're living. But then verses 7 through 9 of that Shema, of that prayer, is tell them your faith story. So I've been reading this little book. So this is about a section of Susanna Wesley who broke the mold of mothers in her time. They weren't supposed to teach children about Jesus. She did. Two of her sons were named John and Charles. Right, they started the Methodist revival because this woman was so on fire for Jesus, she didn't care what even her husband told her to do. She waited till he left home, and she said, come here, let me teach you about Jesus. And her husband was a priest. Isn't that weird? Anyway, this is what it says. It says, the family can become a source of spiritual guidance for its members. Many contemporary families expect to pass on their faith to the next generation in two ways. First, most parents assume that the educational ministries of the church will provide their children with the support they need for spiritual formation. Adults with small children often return to church after a long absence because they want their children educated in the faith through Sunday school worship activities, and kids are expected to learn about their faith and to apply it to their own lives. Secondly, a relatively smaller number of parents hope their children will pick up the important dimensions of faith by observation. As parents live according to the example of Christ, their children will learn what it means to be a Christian too. Both church participation and parenting modeling are essential, but there's a third method that makes the first two more effective. This method has been in use from the beginning of the Hebrew people, from passing on their faith from generation to generation. In order for families to be most effective in spiritual formation, they need to tell their faith story to their children. You got to start telling your kids about Jesus. We'll tell them too, but this is a partnership. You got to tell them about Jesus. We'll tell them about Jesus, and then they got to see us living like Jesus. If you wouldn't want your child following you and listening to the language you use at work or the things you're doing online, don't be mad when they don't act like Jesus in the third grade. So I was asked, what if Emmanuel United Methodist Church, a friend asked me this, what if Emmanuel United Methodist Church was only known in their community for their love of children? Would you be okay with that? Absolutely. They could say, you got the worst preacher ever. Amen. Somebody said amen. Look, hey, yeah. Woo, we having church today. I can handle it. I didn't get in this to make y'all happy. I got in this to glorify God. They can say, man, about this, and I went to their potluck and the roast was dry. They can say whatever they want to about us. But if they say that church loves children, praise God. I don't know about y'all, but I'm good with that. And I want to share another passage. In Matthew chapter 18, I want you to hear these words, because some of you can't wait to leave. And you're going to go right back to living and doing whatever you did before you got here. But I want you to hear these words from Jesus. He said, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of the little ones who believes in me, it would be better if you had a great millstone fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea. You know what a millstone is? It's a 3,000-pound stone they use to grind the meal and the wheat. Jesus is saying, if your life is keeping children from seeing me, you'd be better off jumping into the ocean with 3,000 pounds strapped to your neck. Andrew didn't say it. It's in Matthew 18, verse 6. Look it up. Some of you are already doing it. Look it up. It's there. Jesus said, let them come. So here's a couple things. I've really botched this up because now I need them to do something, and they're so mad that this is probably not the right week to ask them to do anything. So if you'll take that little insert that some of you are with me though. You're the silent majority, but some of you are with me. I can see it in your eyes. Take that little insert on the back of this little light of mine. So we've been praying. How's God going to continue to help us bless children? The trunk or treat's coming up. Operation Christmas Child's right around the corner. But God's calling us to something a little bit bigger, I believe. So those of you in that are praying for our teachers, our educators, our staff people, keep praying. That little mail, Michelle, what do you call that thing? The little thing that sits on your desk, box, the little tray. The little mail tray is going to be out there every week. You put a card in there and we'll take it over there for you. Don't waste the stamp. We'll take it for you, okay? So keep doing that. But then I want to show you this, and I just want you to pray over it. You don't have to do anything with it today because I know you're upset with me. Opportunities to be a part of reaching children in public through schools through the Good News Club. You ever heard of the Good News Club? The Good News Club is in almost every school in our district. Guess where it's not? Welford Academy. A bunch of teachers went out to eat, and they said, I wish we had a Good News Club. One of them just so happened to go to our church. So my phone rang. Hey, preacher, got an idea. You want to do a Good News Club? No. I said, no, I don't. I don't know anything about it. I don't even know if it's Methodist. I don't want nothing to do with it. But I'll find out. 2 weeks later, I'm sitting down and I'm meeting with the regional director about the Good News Club. And I left and I said, this thing may not be Methodist, but it's not Methodist either. Here's what they do. An hour a week or 50 minutes a week, whatever it is, a church on the same day every week goes and shares the gospel with them. Not doctrine, not theology. the gospel. And I said, what do we need to do? They said, don't even contact us again until you have 8 people ready, willing, and committed to giving of that day every week and willing to go through training. So I haven't contacted them because I've not shared it with you yet. But there's all kinds of different things. There's prayer partners, teachers, assistant teachers, refreshments, grade helpers, song leaders, follow-up. It goes on and on, and I've got more details than you could ever wish for all of those. But if you're just willing to say, I can be there. I can be there. And look, if we have more than 8, you don't have to, we can have 12. And then if somebody's sick 1 week, we're still fine, right? But they just won't move forward with us unless we have 8. I'm hoping, I'm praying we can get trained. As busy as the season is, we can get trained. We can start this in January. And when school lets out, we'll celebrate a salvation across the street. That's my prayer. Okay? The other thing that we're going to do today is somehow we're going to have some computers set up. And it takes about 3 minutes to do an online background check. Welford Academy needs lunch buddies. Do y'all know what a lunch buddy is? It's somebody who goes and sits and eats lunch with a child that's been identified as needing some role models in their life. You sit there for 20 minutes and you watch them eat lunch. They're down to 2. They're so desperate, they actually publicly asked on social media and on the internet, we need people to come love on our kids and be lunch buddies. I filled out the form during a break at class. I listened to, okay, I lied. It was then while the teacher was teaching. But it only took me 3 minutes and I was back to paying attention. It took 3 minutes, okay, to go through my background check and to say, I'll come eat lunch with kids. What'll happen is they'll get a list of people, they'll contact and they'll say, what day works for you? Thursdays. Thursday at 11 o'clock, will you come eat with Sally, who's been in the foster home system and needs somebody to love her? And you just sit there in the cafeteria and you let her talk to you. It's not that hard, is it? So we're going to have 2 computers set up today. If you don't want to sign up today, if you think you can handle signing up on your own, I'll send you the link and you go on to lunch today. But I'll get the link to you. Some businesses may actually let you out for stuff like this. This looks good if you can tell them that you're going to mentor. Because I've seen it at Burns High School. Companies like their names being out there. People wear their shirts in. It tells the school district, look at this company in our community who cares about kids. Pray about it. Man, I've got to skip all the good preaching. See the stuff in red right there? That was all the good points, and I got to skip it. But can I finally tell you the good news of the day, those of you that are mad at me? Jesus says, let the little children come to me. You're his child. You may not have a parent to drag you to Jesus anymore, but you're still his child. And so he wants you to come to him too. He wants you to come to him. So here in just a few moments, we're going to come to the table. This is one of the most beautiful things that we have in the church tradition. But it also invites us to come so that we can go. It says, make these be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. See, we're called to the table to be filled with grace so that we can leave and go share it with others. Our children are going to come back. They're actually going to come sit with their parents today. We're going to do things a little bit different. You see, it says that the parents took their kids to Jesus. So today we want parents, we want you to have the opportunity to bring your child to communion. Bring them to the table of Christ. When you leave, this altar is always open. Y'all know that. But also today, parents, if you would wish, if you would choose, it's up to you, for your child or for yourself, either one, we're going to have, Anna, we're good. We got 3? 2? Yes, we got 3. Three of our 4 lay servants who have taken just finished a class on prayer, they're going to be stationed in the corners and 1 in the back. If you need prayer for anything or if you just want them, did you read the rest of the scripture? It says they brought them so Jesus would lay hands and pray for them, and Jesus put his hands on them, blessed them, and then went on his way. So if you want them to pray over your child or over you in your life or a specific situation, there'll be three prayer stations today. If we need to open the doors and go to the lobby and make more room, if people want to pray, we'll pray. We'll pray till I'll dismiss y'all, and those of us, we'll keep praying. God's not done with us yet. He's not done with our children. And so we're going to come to the table, and then afterwards we will have the computer set up, or if you want to wait sometime this week and contact me, I can help you sign up for that. I'm going to ask those helping me serve. I want my two precious young ladies to come, and Michelle, our lay leader, to come. If you'll grab the insert to Holy Communion.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.